I've titled the sermon today, The Women. You see, heroes inspire us to be like them. We tell their stories because the virtues they embody are the virtues that we want to possess. But when Jesus tells us who we should aspire to be, the people he holds up as examples don't sound very heroic. Listen, if you will, to some of the things throughout the Gospels in the New Testament. Jesus tells us in Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter, verse 3, to become like a child, come like this little child. In other words, he asks us to become like one without power. He also says to us in Matthew's Gospel, the 19th chapter, verse 30, that many who are last will be first. And in Luke's Gospel, 9th chapter, verse 48, whoever is least among you will be the greatest. So perhaps it isn't surprising that Jesus' first resurrection appearance is to a group of first century women whose testimonies were considered less worthy than those of the men and whose initial reports were dismissed in Luke's Gospel, the 11th verse, as nonsense, not to be listened to. Even 2,000 years later, in our supposedly more enlightened time, we get hung up on the gender of these first witnesses. For many years, people assumed Mary Magdalene was a former prostitute. In several novels that have been written, she has been portrayed as Jesus' love interest. In musicals that have been put out all over time, she pleads for the disciples and Jesus to be less argumentative. And when she is cast in movies for us to see upon the TV or the movie screen, she is almost always young, thin, and extremely beautiful. She is never lumpy or hairy or missing teeth. She is never walking around limping or doing anything that's not perfectly beautiful. It's almost as if 2,000 years after these women preached the first gospel message, they still have to justify their presence and their place as Christian leaders by conforming to our gender prejudices. You see, in the three synoptic gospels that we've read this morning, and also from John, the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we can almost detect the embarrassment over how Jesus chose to appear alive to his disciples. You see, they stumble over the details. In Matthew's gospel, it's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James. In Mark's gospel, it's these plus Salome. And in Luke's gospel, it's the three named women plus other women. Although Paul often acknowledges women leaders in his letters, he omits the women in the resurrection story altogether. That's Paul for you. He kind of does things like that. He says that Jesus appeared to Cephas, which was Peter, and then to the 12 in Corinthians 15:5. But in John's gospel, here John, on the other hand, focuses his attention this day on Mary Magdalene. In his story, not only does Jesus appear first to a woman, he actually waits until all the men have left in John 20, verse 10. So why a group of women? Again, a woman's testimony was not worth as much as a man's in the ancient world. The Gospels report that the male disciples were reluctant to believe the women. In fact, they didn't believe them at all. They had to go see for themselves. Yet this group of women get to be the first to proclaim the gospel, speaking the first news of the resurrection on record. Does Jesus have an agenda in choosing them to be the first witnesses? Is this His way of just making a point? You see, we can certainly find plenty of times in the Bible for inclusion of women in Jesus' ministry. Matthew 8:14. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He accepts Mary, Martha's sister, as an equal in the inner circle, allowing her to sit and learn at the feet of him and his disciples in Luke 10:38-42. He even compares God to a woman in Luke 15:8. Luke lists several women who traveled with Jesus and the 12. He mentions Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many others in Luke 8:2-3. You see, these are not minor characters in the Bible any more than any other members of the 12, like Thomas or Nathaniel, are minor characters. In fact, some of these women have more words devoted to them than these 12 men. In addition, Jesus has a long conversation with a Samaritan woman in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter. And it is as if for the first time she realizes that God watches her, that God cheers for her, and that God wants the very best for her. She learns that God is not hung up on the fact that she does not belong to the right religion, that she's not of the right ethnic group, and that she's not of the right gender. She goes on to spread the word to her whole community, and she begs them to come and meet the man who told her everything she had ever done. And many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 39. You see, Jesus' choice to appear to a group of women firmly connects His resurrection with the whole voice of His ministry. You see, much of the world at that time of contemporary Western Christianity that we live in makes Jesus' death and resurrection all about my sin and my hope for eternal life, focusing on individual salvation, ignoring the most of Jesus' preaching on the kingdom. You see, Jesus' appearance to a group of women makes it clear that the resurrection is a continuance of the ministry that He outlines in Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse 18 and 19, when He says, to bring good news to the poor. That is what I've come for. To proclaim release to the prisoners and let the oppressed go free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He chooses His first preachers to be women because that's the way God operates. Somebody told me this week, you know, he says, we serve a mighty big God. I said, yes, we do. A God that can do anything. A God that allows us all to be equal in His sight. You see, the early church understood that Jesus had introduced a new social order. We no longer are defined by our social expectations, our disabilities, our gender, or any other accidentals that might come along in life. Whatever our circumstance or situation might be, the Lord accepts us just as who we are. When we encounter the resurrected Jesus, we are defined by a new relationship with our Lord. For the early church, they recognized Jesus. That God doesn't show partiality. A God in whom there was no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. You see, the resurrection of Jesus means that the doors of the kingdom of God have been thrown open and that a radically inclusive invitation has gone out to all people to join God in this new movement that is in the world. You see, perhaps some people in the early church knew Mary. You know, maybe they knew Joanna or Susanna personally. Maybe they had a friendship with them. Like some of the other characters in the Gospels, like Nicodemus and Mary and Martha and Rufus. When they heard the names, they whispered to each other. Can you just hear them saying, is that our Mary they're talking about? Is that our Salome that is telling that story? Have you heard her tell this story? Can you hear it? Do you see it? Do you listen? It could be just like us when we see some of our youth doing something. Said, is that our Matthew? Is that our Savannah? Is that our Amelie and our Tara? Are they the ones that are telling the story? Who is that that we see? Who is that that we hear? Have you heard her tell this story? Thank God somewhere along the way that somebody said it's okay that Jesus loves us all, that He died for us all, and that someone heard and someone believed and someone listened. And it was okay because I've heard somebody say, is that our Melinda? Have you heard her tell that story? Listen. Listen to what God has put upon her heart. Listen to what God is doing through those people. Listen to what God is doing in this place. Look for yourself. Tell the story. Say, you know, I once met her in Joppa, and she was amazing. I heard Mary tell that story. You see, perhaps the children of that early church heard the story of that resurrection morning, and a little girl tugged on the hem of her father's tunic, and she whispered to him, "Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be like Mary. I want to tell people about Jesus too." Let us be about telling the story everywhere we go, because on that resurrection morning, God died for us all. Let us pray.